Hey, Maria.
What, Megan?
Hello from Vancouver.
Hi.
Hey.
You're in a different country.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
Do you feel...
That's not true. Canada's very mild.
You're like on the other side of the world, Megan.
I really am. If by world you mean border.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the border. You ran for the border. You're like a Taco Bell commercial.
I'm like a draftee during the Vietnam War.
Yeah, you are.
I really am.
Have you eaten at any Canadian staples yet while you've been up there?
I don't know what's a Canadian staple? Like a Tim Hortons?
Like a Tim Hortons.
Obviously, I've been to a Tim Hortons.
Okay, just checking.
I would be doing things really wrong if I hadn't.
In case you guys haven't catched on yet, because catched is a word.
Catched on.
Megan and I are recording from two separate countries. I'm here in the US of A. Megan's there in the Canada of C. And she just was at GP Vancouver.
That's right. It was pretty sweet, you guys.
On a scale of 1 to pretty sweet, where was it?
Like the overall experience, it was like a 9.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. My actual GP, like just the GP itself, was like a 4. But...
That's okay. Does Vegas beat it, or is GP Vancouver topping Vegas at this point for you?
No, Vegas is still like tops.
Okay, sweet. So Megan's in a hostel right now using the library to record this podcast, and I think somebody just walked in and wanted to use the room, and Megan, you're in there.
Yes, that is factually exactly what happened. But we're sticking it out.
You know what? It's for the good of the listeners. Listeners, whoever that person was, they sacrificed for you.
Yes, exactly. I have booted someone out of a library.
That is the most anti-Megan thing I can possibly imagine.
It really is. It really is. Like, if there's any place that I think everyone should be okay, it's a library.
Well, on today's
show, I can't believe it.
Megan's...
I feel like a monster.
I mean, yes, you are. I'm not going to deny it for you.
Next thing you know, I'm just going to be another person casting a siege rhino.
Megan cries tears of books. Her tears are books.
Yes.
We're going to talk all about GP Vancouver on the show today. Megan's experience. I stayed home like a vegetable and watched it from my couch, so I can talk about what I saw as well. And what we think of the Oath of the Gatewatch format, both in sealed and in draft.
I didn't even think about that. You also had a GP experience that was totally different from mine.
Yeah.
Watching the people who are actually doing decently.
Yeah, well, there's something to be said for whether or not they did decently when I talk about the top 8, okay?
Okay, that's totally fair. You have to let me know about it.
Okay. Well,
all in good time.
All in good time. I also did a PPTQ, so I had some sealed action of my own.
That's right.
So I can talk a little bit about that. And we're going into the Pro Tour. The Pro Tour is coming up next weekend.
Yeah, it is.
It's modern.
Factual.
Thoroughly
but also draft.
Modern Pro Tour. Yeah, modern and draft. So we have a lot of stuff on our plate today, Megan. Are you going to be a member of the Clean Plate Club?
Do you know what? Yes.
Did your parents ever ask you that?
No, but my mom grew up in that kind of household.
Oh, yeah.
So... She was very anti ever sit down dinner situation.
You stood
when
up,
I was a
you
kid.
You stood up to eat?
Yeah, we only stood around
like
and ate.
Like horses.
Yes. my family is, in fact, we're all horses.
Oh my God, what breed?
I mean, we're honestly, if it's my mom's side of the family, we're all like pretty close to being like, we're like some sort of pony variant.
Megan Wolf. Pony variant. That's the title of your autobiography if I ever heard one.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Oh my God. Okay.
It's true, we're all quite short. I'm very tall for my family. For everyone listening, I'm 5'5".
I'm 5'4", so you got me beat. What if you're a pony, what am I?
You're also a pony. I'm just
like
a tall pony.
Therapy pony that that people pet.
That people pet when they're stressed.
Yes.
That's weird. That feels weird.
I agree. GP Vancouver.
That's right.
Oh,
it's
Megan.
A thing.
You
it
were
happened.
There in the action.
I sure was.
I was in here,
the thick of it,
on my couch eating pizza rolls.
I wish I had pizza rolls. I ate a lot of granola bars.
Question. If I was a vendor on site selling pizza rolls, would you or would you not buy them?
100% yes.
Would you or would you not pay me all the money you had in your wallet because I'm selling pizza rolls?
I mean, not all of the money in my wallet, but, you know, like a portion of it relative to the number of pizza rolls that I'm going to acquire.
How much would you pay per pizza roll at a GP?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I should really get Totino's to sponsor this podcast.
You really should. We talk about pizza rolls enough.
All the time.
We really do. God. Okay, all other food options, like being as they usually are at a GP?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I would pay...
I think I'm going at 25 cents a roll.
Really? I would go higher than that.
Really? You'd pay like 50 cents a roll?
I would totally pay 50 cents a roll. I was just now contemplating if I would or would not pay 75 cents a roll.
Whoa!
I determined Whoa! I would not play a dollar. I would not pay a dollar a roll. But if I wanted 10, would I pay 7.50? Like, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
But I might, even if I was having to have like a bidding war with someone else. I would probably go up to like 60 cents a roll.
Okay, good to know. Because my booth is not only offering pizza rolls for sale, we're also selling deodorant. What else? What else do you need at a GP and you're like, I don't have this? Like Excedrin?
Yes. Like a sun lamp?
I'm just going to have a saw that can cut through concrete, and it's called Build Your Own Window.
Yes, that's perfect. No, that's what I need. That's the last thing on my list.
I don't know why convention centers don't have any windows.
I don't know why they always put the magic tournaments in the basements of the convention centers.
Because they're trying to hide us.
They really are. Because it's like, this one was in the on the bottom floor of the Vancouver Convention Center. No windows. The Minneapolis one is like GP mm-hmm. Minneapolis. Any Minneapolis event. It's in the basement.
Yeah.
You have to go down twice.
Right.
It's absurd.
Megan, overall thoughts. You love GP Vancouver. Tell me a little bit about your SEAL deck and how you did. I know you started the day off pretty exciting because you were 3-0. I know, because I was at a PPTQ and we checked you on the computer and it was like, Megan Wolf, 3-0. And we were all like, oh, shit.
Maria, it took a nosedive from there. It only went downhill, which, to be fair, I was not expecting to win the first two rounds because my deck was miserable.
Oh, really?
It was quite bad. The only thing that saved me was that my opponents built worse decks than I did.
Megan, you always say your deck is bad and then it's not.
But in this case, it factually was. Like, I was trying to explain it to people, like, so I don't know. Like, I finished deck building. This is what happened. Is like, I was like, I don't know if I built the correct deck. But I also think that the margin of error is so slim. Like, even if I didn't build the correct deck, I think I still accomplished at least about 90% of what this pool has to offer me.
That's sealed sometimes.
Exactly. Even the non-optimal deck is still, like, operating at almost full capacity for this sealed pool.
That's a really good way to put it, actually.
Because the sealed pool is so poor.
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Because I even built, like, with some input from a couple of other people there, built what we thought was probably the optimal deck. And I'll tell you, like, they did not function particularly differently. Like, all of the matches that my first deck could win, my second deck could win. And all of the matches that my first deck couldn't win, my second deck also couldn't win.
So tell me what the problem with your deck was.
It was just, it had a lot of great removal. It had, you know, or a lot of good removal. It had, you know, like Grasp of Darkness. And I had an Oblivion Strike and I had like two Boulder Salvos. I'm trying to remember what else.
This is sounding like a similar tale I'm about to tell.
Yeah, but do you know what? Like, I didn't have any good creatures. Like, there were no impactful creatures.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as, like, I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to blow it out of proportion. Like, I can't think of a single creature that my pool had that it was just like, fuck yeah, that's a great creature.
Did
it
you not even have exist. Like a 3/3 flyer or a
no?
Oh boy.
Oh, okay. No, I did. I had one Jawar Isle Avenger. I had one. And Maria, that was probably the most impactful creature in my entire pool.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I, like, yeah, that was just sort of the biggest thing. Like, I had the 2/4 for 4 in black that you can pay 4 and exile a creature card from your graveyard to make a zombie.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably the most impactful card in my entire pool.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And, like, to be fair, if they don't kill that card, it can go nuts. Like, I did, I think my third round opponent went, like, right, I went, like, creature, and they, like, killed it. And then I played that 2/4, and they had no removal. And over the course of 2 turns, I made, like, 4 zombies. It was just like, well, thank you for spending all of your early removal on all of, like, my pretty mediocre creatures that I can now turn into 2/2 zombies.
Yeah, I think that card's okay. I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't know that it's particularly great. Like, that was definitely the situation that it was best in, because I think that my opponent had been a little reckless with their removal.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the same exact boat at my PPTQ. Great removal. I mean, Isolation Zone, Stasis Snare, Oblivion Strike. The 7 like mana Awaken, kill whatever the heck you want, Ruinous Path. Snare,
Tar Snare, I don't think is that good.
No, I don't think it is either. But
there's a lot of stuff that has 3 toughness that you really wish you could kill.
Agreed. 3 toughness is a toughness you want to kill, but sometimes a Tar Snare will be handy. Like, I'm trying to actually think of a situation, and I sort of can't.
Exactly. It's more like someone was talking about this week, and I agreed. They're like, it's a little bit more like a combat trick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
like
so.
It's not a kill spell. It's a combat trick.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had a great removal suite as well, and just nothing on my top end to pay off for it. So I think I stopped when I got my third loss. So I was like 3/3 when I stopped or something like that. Yeah. And, yeah, it was just kind of depressing. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't having the conversation that I was expecting to have after the pre-release, which was, oh, did I have colorless creatures and I couldn't play them because I had no wastes? Instead, my conversation so far in PPTQs have been, why is my deck not performing?
Yeah, and I definitely agree.
Yeah.
With that sentiment. Because I had the same experience the next day in the Sunday Sealed. I just, like, and in that I had, you know, I had a little bit more payoff, but my whole pool had 2 interaction spells. Ugh. I had a complete disregard and a Roiling Waters, and that was literally it for ways that I could interact with my opponent's creatures.
Just, like, Megan, just play all creatures. No that removal.
That was it. I was like, okay.
You know.
This is happening.
I think that's a bad draw there. You got the short straw.
I don't know that there wasn't something that I could have done about it.
No.
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe there's nothing you could do.
Yeah.
But this is my other assessment of the format. Draft and sealed. I think that this format is extremely hard.
I agree. It's very difficult format.
I have a few reasons why I think that is. Wastes being one of them. The fact that you need to draft one of your lands in a few synergies.
Yeah. And also, wastes itself is not that good.
Do you mean the way you said that, you like put up your finger, you're like, it is not that good.
Wastes are not that good. But they're not.
What do you mean, like the lands?
Like, yeah, the lands themselves.
Or are you talking about like the creatures aren't worth it?
No, I mean that the lands, like, I don't want to be putting the card waste in my deck.
Oh, right, because there's so much better options. Crumbling Vestige, exactly. My pick for best card of the limited format. Saying it right now. I'm going there.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a million miles better. And every other card that produce waste, basically. That's not a waste. So I think that's very difficult. 2, I've not solved the format yet. But also... Man, can I tell you about this draft I played today real quick?
Sure.
So I built black-white, which a lot of people are saying, oh, that's the best deck. I don't know if I agree with that, but maybe it is one of the top decks. And here's the thing. Unless you have a really good, super sweet, sick, like Eldrazi or something going on in your top end of your curve, you're kind of sort of not doing anything unless you have the Chain Mage. Like, honestly, or if you have the Vampire and a way to gain life, but then you're just draining them for one every turn. Mm-hmm. It just felt like it was just like 1-4, 2-4, 1-4. Okay, I'm just going to sit here. And then, Megan, I think I played the deck that solved it all. What, all right, we were in the
what
finals.
What happened?
They drafted, get this, 5-color. Just kidding, 6-color.
What?
They drafted everything that was, you know, moderately good, which, in my opinion, maybe there's just not a lot of good cards in this format. Like, they dropped a Reflector Mage, which is good, but it's not like a freaking bomb. They had Stalking Drone, which I think is like a superstar, because you can just pay to pump it to a 3-4, and that's relevant, you know, quite often. And then they just played, like, Omnath once they got the mana, and I couldn't do anything about it because I'm sitting here with my stupid 1-force. What am I doing? I'm just dicking around until they get all of their mana and casting enormous Eldrazi. So they're brown, Megan. That's what this format wants. Brown. I'm going on record. Although I do think green-white support is good as well, if you can make it come together.
Yeah. I was going to say, I did a side draft on Sunday where I drafted green-white support. It's because, like, I was tired, but you got a free voucher to draft, and I was like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to go draft. And I sat down with the packs, and I, like, objectively opened cards that were probably better for other, like, at least in my first few opens. I was getting past a lot of white. But I was just like, do you know what? I don't want to sit and play these long, grindy games. I'm going to, like, green-white aggro everybody and just get out of this draft pod.
Good.
And it was great. I went one turn where I went like a Tajuru Beastmaster, the +1/+1, and then the next turn played Allied Reinforcements for double triggering. It was beautiful. I got I had a round that was like beautiful, and then I got wrecked by a beautiful blue red Jorian Kozilek's Return Desolation Twin deck.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Sounds like
a masterpiece. Drew so many cards. He drew so many cards. Because sometimes he would have Jorian in play, and I, like, didn't have, you know, it being green-white. Had, you know, like, I just had, like, 12 creatures in play.
Yeah.
And he, like, would just, like, play a spell, play another spell, and, like, draw a card. Or, like, play a draw spell. Like, he had, like, Eugene's Insight. Like, play Eugene's Insight. Draw 3 cards, play another spell, draw another card. He had Coastal Discovery, and then his finisher was, one. Kozilek's Return wrecked me, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can see that.
Being a green-white deck full of, like, derpy dudes that I'm beating down with. And then, so Kozilek's Returns wipes basically my entire board. then Desolation Twins, and then flashes back the Kozilek's Return wipe up everything that wasn't dead already.
No, get out.
It was that's filthy. It was incredible. It was an incredible deck, you know.
Well, here's my problem with blue red. Like, I want blue red to be really good, and I mean this iteration seems very good, but it's some part of me is just like, I don't know. In my heart, I'm like, you don't have all the cards that I want you to have to be like a super great deck.
Like, what else would you want? Like, what do you want? What do you feel is missing?
Okay, so I'm thinking back to the time when blue-red had its heyday, which was when we had the goblin that makes people not be able to block. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then
Frenzied Goblin?
No, and there was Temur Battle Rage was in the format.
Oh, the 3-2.
Yeah, the 3-2.
Goblin Heel Cutter.
Goblin Heel Cutter. Now, there was a blue-red deck. had cheaper, maybe I'm not playing it right, but I feel like it had cheaper ways to lock out your opponent, because surge to surge doesn't equal you get to surge sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to have a card that's cheap and then a surge card that you can surge cheap. But if you have two surge cards.
That's fair.
Sometimes
you need to have an even mix of both.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I will like to try to do it more because I think it could be really fun.
It's a different variation, you know? Blue-red doesn't always have to look the same.
That's true. That's true. Anyway.
People can change, Maria. People can change.
I don't believe that, Megan. Did you know that about me?
You don't believe that people can change?
No.
Are we having a sincere moment? Do you really not believe that? I feel like I need to know this.
I'm pretty firm on that.
You really believe that people can't change?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Do you think you're the same person that you've always been?
Yes. What? Yes. I mean, I'm marginally different. I'm better now. You know, I'm a better human than I was when I was 6. But inside, I'm pretty much exactly the same.
You don't think that all of those marginal differences eventually add up to like a big difference?
I guess I would have to go back and look. But really, really, I don't know. I feel pretty similar.
Wow.
And there's all, you know, maybe it comes from just like dating a bunch of like horrid people and you're just like, oh, they're like, oh, I could be changed. I could be better. And they just never are any different ever.
Wow. I always find that one of like the most reassuring things is that like I'll always reflect on the past year and just be like, oh man, I was stupid as hell. But you know, like yeah. at least I'm not that stupid anymore.
Well, I think you're thinking of it different.
I'm not that particular kind of stupid. You know, I'm a different new kind of stupid.
I think I'm being more broad and you're being more, you know, like
specific. Particular.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Wow, this took a really weird turn.
We just got so deep on this show.
I guess my point is that I would like to believe that people can change.
That would be great.
It's kind of disheartening, isn't it?
Of course it is. That's why. Why do you think that I think the world is just fucked? I don't really think that, but I do.
Well,
I am very skeptical.
If you think that people can't fundamentally change, then yeah. I think you do think that.
Well, I mean, new babies are born every day. Let's just hope there's good ones.
Because according to you, the bad ones are just fucked.
Oh, I'm sure I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, whatever.
So I guess that was my day PPTQing and drafting. Yeah. So after a bunch of drafts, I can say quite firmly that I don't quite know what the fuck you're supposed to do except draft green-white. Because, I mean, shoulder-to-shoulder is the real deal. You put a kite sail out, you put a 1-3 out, a McKinney Aeronaut, and you're just like, boom, shoulder-to-shoulder, you're dead.
Yeah, that's very fair.
So
shoulder-to-shoulder is totally the real deal.
I tried to draft it, but it's never been open. I think people already got the memo.
Yeah. I would say that, like, I drafted that green-white deck, and, like, I saw, Maria, I had, like, 4 Courier Griffins.
Oh, yeah.
And I got past, like, a 5th pick Nissa's Judgment. I was like, what the hell, you guys? But I did not see any shoulder-to-shoulders. I did not see a single shoulder-to-shoulder.
Well, you got Nissa's Judgment, and that's what matters, really.
That's true. That card is also
the real
deal.
That card's bonk towns.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah, you know, there's a few all-stars that we've mentioned so far in the show, like shoulder-to-shoulder Chain Mage, which is good in the black-white deck, but you gotta have a top
really
end.
Only in the right deck, because otherwise it's a 4-mana 4/2 and you're like, this blows.
Yeah, and that's just terrible. It doesn't even have first strike. It's not even a belligerent whiptail, for crying out loud.
Sometimes it's really not even a belligerent whiptail.
So, Megan, I was watching Vancouver while you were playing Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I watched the top 8.
Tell me all about it.
Drafted. Guess what?
Have you
heard what happened?
No.
Oh.
I was drowning my sorrows in Hanabi.
Oh, Hanabi. Another great game.
I love it. It was great.
Megan, it was an absolute disaster.
What happened?
The decks that they showed on camera were horrid, the two that they built. One was Jeremy Gisani, and another was like an old school player. Bad and worse. Like, it was just bad news. And I think it comes from a lot of people just don't understand this format yet. I mean, and it was kind of like, I don't know what I would have done in their seat either, because like one of them, I was like, I would have had a marginally better deck than you maybe from, you know, just from what I know of the cards. But like, honestly, it's not like I'm seeing all these cards and like, yes, these cards are amazing. Get in my deck. Like, I haven't had a draft like that yet, and that was definitely not the decks we saw. Like, one of the players was just kind of, like, shaking his head, and he took those 1/2s that go and find equipment, and he, like, drafted 2 of those cloaks that give menace, and also a bone saw, and I guess he was just like, fuck it, I guess I have to do something.
Although, I draw. I have to say, I think Chitinous?
Nobody knows.
Chitinous?
It's literally unpronounceable.
Chitinous.
Chakatitinous.
Cloak is better than most equipment that you would figure it. Anyways, point is,
it's so expensive.
I'm not saying that I would love to play it, but I also don't think that it's the worst thing that ever happened.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm not saying that I would draft those I would want to draft those 1/2s and 2 of those cloaks. Ugh. I'm just saying.
Anyway, they were both horrid. And then they played this game. There's this game on camera that lasted for literal ever. And I fell asleep watching it because it was for literal ever.
No, because the board state got all clogged.
It was a stall. And we saw so much of that on coverage this weekend. Just stall after stall after stall.
Yeah, it's absurd. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, part of me wants to think it's a design flaw.
But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, design-wise, I'm saying that I don't know what happened design-wise.
Yeah,
that they didn't realize what was going to go on, because it gets absurdly clogged.
Yeah,
it gets absurdly clogged.
And then you just sit there, and there's a billion creatures out. There's a billion 1/4s, and you're just like, I guess I'm going to drain you for 1 and gain 2. Like,
the game. Yeah, that's part of why that Chain Mage is actually. I think in a lot of sets, it would just be like, who cares that it has this cohort ability? It's still a shitty 4/2 for 4. But in this case, there's so many board stalls that it's like, well, this card is actually decent because, you know, it's essentially 2 unblockable damage a turn.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Yeah, it got so bad, and I saw it so often that that's what led me to think, is this a design flaw in the set? Or does everybody just not know what to do yet? Because Melissa said it on our episode of Magic the Prothering the other week.
Yeah.
This is a hard format, and it is. But also, could it potentially be just a format that's a little misdesigned? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think time will tell, you know, after everybody's been drafting this for a couple of months and doing sealed for a couple of months, if it's still going on, then we'll kind of know. Like, maybe right now it's just that nobody knows exactly what to do. But, you know, at the same time, I don't remember a format in our recent history that's been, even when no one's figured it out yet, that's been this clogged.
It's weird, because I do think there are aggressive decks, and you can play them, and they can win. But at the same time, they're so risky because there's so many big booty creatures out there that you could just get shut down.
You really can. Do you know what is the real goddamn deal?
What?
My opponent in the 8th round of the GP played an Expedition Ancient Tomb, which is the one that taps for 2 mana and deals 2 damage to you.
Oh.
I
didn't even know, because I don't open Expeditions.
That's fair. He was playing it, and to be fair, he dealt himself like 6 damage over the course of like 3 turns with it, but then he also cast a Ruin Processor on turn 6 and gained all of it back. So,
I mean, yeah.
It was absurd. I got real beat up by that Ancient Tomb.
So, Megan.
Yes.
That's our feelings on the format so far.
Yeah.
If you guys have other opinions out there, please tweet at us at MTAcast. I would like to know what you think. We did run a listener poll on our Twitter, which asked fast, slow, or potatoes. And I think potatoes won by a landslide.
Landslide.
Slow was second, but by just a minuscule amount. Yeah. Potatoes was the clear winner.
Potatoes was the clear winner. this format is definitely more potatoes than BFC.
Than anything else.
Yeah.
What other experiences did you have at the GP?
Oh, I was just going to note that at the end of day 1, I was talking with Melissa, and she mentioned that because she was there doing text coverage, she mentioned that all of the 9-0 decks had blue in them, were playing blue,
okay,
and none of them were playing green.
What? That's so weird, because listen to what we're just talking about. We're like, green's the real deal.
But that's in, you know, that's also in
draft,
a draft deck.
Okay.
So I just thought that that was like an, because yeah, I also felt that. But, you know, draft decks are very different from sealed decks.
Did you see that one deck that was from, I can't remember, there's two other GPs happening this past weekend, one in Mexico City and one in Japan.
Who the fuck knows?
And the deck that won that draft, I believe, or was it a sealed? Dang it, I shouldn't talk because I should look it up. But it had a lot of one power dude.
Yeah.
It had a lot of small little dudes, and they were making fun of it on camera, like, this deck is so tiny, how did it win? Okay, hold on, I'm going to look up. Tell me more stories.
Fair enough. Oh, from the GP?
Yeah.
Other than that, it was a really lovely time. I had a great time. It was mostly great because I got to see lots of lovely people and hang out with lots of great people and play lots of other great games.
Yeah.
In between. Yeah. So I mentioned Hanabi, which I love. And then we also played a lot of Coup. And a lot of Love Letter. And I have
love
to say,
Love Letter.
Love Letter was as great, you know, as always.
Yeah.
And Coup, I see, like, I feel like, and maybe you've had this experience too, where at least the people that I was playing with were kind of eventually felt like they were, like, bored with it. And they were like, I don't think this game is that great. And I have to say that I played with, I played with a couple of people who were like, oh, actually, who gave me a different perspective on the game, and I think we're playing it in a way that was much more interesting. So that was a lot of fun.
Cool.
It was way less about, it was really interesting because it was way less about, so Coup is this game where, you know, like, sometimes you bluff and sometimes you call people on their bluffs. You'd have to go look up the whole game. But the point is that I think that a lot of people get bored because it's a lot of bluffing and a lot of calling people on bluffing. But in this game, everybody was just making the moves that kept them the most, like, inscrutable. And it was way more exciting.
Inscrutable.
Like, yes, you were doing way less to give away what your hand was.
It was GP Nagoya.
As opposed to bluffing pretty hard.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great game.
It's a great game. Had a great time.
So GP Nagoya is the one that I was talking about.
Yeah.
That had that crazy, like, deck with a bunch of, like, stuff that looked pretty dumb. Jansen was the winner of GP Vancouver. Adam Jansen. Let's take a peek at his deck list because I just want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, what did he play? He played blue-red.
Okay.
But he had some good cards just from, like, you know, from Battle for Zendikar. Two Sky Spawners, Valakut Invoker. He had Cyclone Sire, Gravity Negator, Entangler, Jura-N, Commando. Yeah, this seems right.
Yeah. You know, I have to say Gravity Negator is pretty good.
I said it as well.
That's fair. I definitely got to fly a Ruin Processor. At one point, and that just felt great. It was sort of like, oh, I'll attack you for with this 7/8 flyer also.
So Jeremy Jazani is the one who went down to Adam Jensen, and this is one of the decks that we saw that was just like, what is your deck? Okay, get ready for this. Expedition Envoy, Felidor Cub, Andu Great Horn, Kozilek Sentinel, Reckless Cohort, Valakut Predator, Alpha Protector, Expedition Raptor, that card's okay. Makindi Aeronaut, Relief Captain, that card's okay. Acomb Flameseeker, Eldrazi Aggressor, Goblin Freerunner, Spark Mage Apprentice.
Wait, Goblin Freerunner is good.
Goblin Freerunner is good. Zadis Commando, okay.
I mean, and Relief Captain is the real deal.
That Relief Captain
sometimes
is real
go,
deal.
Sometimes you go like 2-drop, 3-drop, other 4-drop Relief Captain, and it's just like, well,
but that's
you're
like
screwed.
It because his deck also has a press into service, the Allied Reinforcements, and then Stasis Stare and Isolation Zone, and then Searing Light as kill spells. But like the rest of these creatures are just a pile of poop.
I mean, but it does have a lot of support. Like press into service also supports Expedition Raptor supports. Relief Captain. I mean, I'm not saying that it sounds incredible by
no,
any stretch of the imagination.
I think people
are
most,
like,
mad because he passed the, what's the name of the commander that's the five color?
General
Tazri? Tazri? Yeah.
Tarzi.
Passed that pack one, pick one, and then ended up in this deck anyway.
Yeah.
So,
that's
interesting.
Fair. had, so in my second deck that I was playing at the GP, the one that I would sideboard into, had a, and I don't, this, I was just laughing because nobody knew how to say this word, the wandering fumeral. So it's the wandering, I just don't know how else
the
to
wandering
exactly. Yep. Exactly. So yeah, it's super interesting. I do have to say, so I mentioned that I won my first two rounds of the GP because my opponents just built worse decks than I did.
Yeah.
And I, like, they were both red white decks. These very bad decks. Like, red white, I still, like, it was a weak color combination in BFC.
And it's weak
now.
And I
think that it's still a weak color combination.
Oh, I agree.
Like, they're, it just did not have enough going on.
Yeah.
And so in,
I remember when red creatures were better than this.
When was that?
I don't know.
Exactly. Goblin Heel Cutter was the real deal.
I remember when there was Unleashed. Those creatures were good.
My, in day two in Super Sunday, I had back-to-back opponents play, on six an Oblivion Sower, and then go Oblivion Sower, Conduit of Ruin, Ruin Processor.
Ooh.
And I was just like, I'm over this. I'm over this.
So over this.
Yeah.
I'm over this.
And do you know what? I just don't know, like, if, I don't know if it's that there's, you know, Oath doesn't have as many big Eldrazis.
No.
As BFC did.
And you have to pay waste for a lot of them. So.
Exactly. And so I definitely feel like it's more, I feel like that's also, we've talked a bit about a few things that we feel might be skewing this sealed format. And we don't always have the same opinion on them, but this is also another theory that I'm forming, is that, like, the, your pool can be very heavily swayed by the number of colorless cards, like the number of Eldrazi that you have in your BFC packs.
Yeah.
Because they are, they don't require waste like a lot of the Oath ones. And yeah, they're just, I think that they were a little bit more prolific. And so it's like, well, did you get an Eldrazi in your Oath packs or did you not? It's like, I don't have, you know, in my sealed pool, I had both days, actually, I had one Ruin Processor in each. And it's like, oh, well, you, if you even have, like, an Eldrazi Devastator, if you have an Oblivion Sower, if you have, like, more than one of these Eldrazi, then, like, I'm kind of screwed.
Hmm.
So I thought that that was super interesting.
Well, a lot remains to be seen about this format yet. I would really like to hear your opinion, so please tweet at us, at MTAcast. If you have a really long opinion, just stuff it back down your throat. I don't want to hear it.
Or
just
send
kidding.
It to us in an email at magicktheamateuring at gmail.com.
Megan's the nice one of us. Have you learned that yet?
Am I?
I don't. Well, yeah. I mean, I think this is what makes us a good pair, is sometimes I'm the nice one and sometimes you're the nice one.
We're both good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. We would make a terrible buddy cop movie.
We really would. It would be good cop, bad cop, good cop, bad cop. Would be the name of our buddy film, of our cop buddy film.
Hey, I'm gonna. You're going downtown, buddy. Do you want some coffee?
But that's the same person saying.
Yeah,
each
that's
of those
the same
lines.
Person. That's both me.
No, Maria, you can't give them that coffee. Hey, do you want, like? Did you want room for cream?
Did you want room for cream? That's a really weird way to say it.
What do you mean that's a weird way to say it?
Megan,
like, you were giving them a cup of coffee. You need to know if they want room in that cup for cream or if you're just going to fill it up.
Megan, if I messaged you and I just said it in the message, do you want room for cream? Would you or would you not be creeped out?
If we weren't having any coffee conversation before that, it would be weird. But if we were having a conversation about coffee, I'd be like, I know exactly what the fuck you're talking about. That's a normal question. Like, as the coffee drinker between the two of us, I think I know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Do you want room for cream just out of the blue?
Like,
I would assume you were talking about coffee. That's a really normal question.
Thank you for assuming that.
I mean, maybe if it were you specifically, but if it were anyone else in the world.
Yeah. Anyway, GP Vancouver, hashtag room for cream.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a weird format.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'll be very interested to see how it progresses. I have to say that, like, I don't know, like, and maybe it's just, you know, you get a little bit of GP fatigue when you go to a Grand Prix.
GP fatigue.
Exactly. But, like, I'm already kind of feeling like I don't know how I feel about Oath yet.
Yep, me too.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to super enjoy it.
I was drafting, and, like, now I'm just kind of like, ugh, I better take a break because I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, there's always that balance between, like, sometimes I'll go through, like, a stretch of several drafts back to back to back sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, this is a puzzle. I will put all these pieces in their place.
Yeah.
And then, you know, several hours later, I'm just like, I don't even know what picture this is making.
Exactly. You know what's funny? While I was watching the GP, I was building a small, tiny Statue of Liberty with miniature Legos.
That's weird.
I know. I bought it for half off at Air Traffic, where I was at the PPTQ. Thank you to Air Traffic in Maple Grove, by the way, for letting me come and do that. We got a foil Saddleback Legac, which was amazing.
Adorable.
Yeah, it's a little tiny Statue of Liberty made out of miniature Legos. They're not Legos, but they're like micro Legos.
What?
That has no relevance to our conversation whatsoever. All right, let's talk some modern, Megan.
Yeah, let's talk some modern.
So
let's talk about modern, baby.
All right. Do you want to talk about the SCG modern that happened?
Why don't you talk about it since you can see the deck list?
I'll talk
about just what the chat was.
All right. So.
Oh, God. I never want to say chat again in my life. That's the worst word to repeat twice in a row.
Do you want to guess what the first place deck was?
Affinity.
No, that was 8th, so it was in the top 8.
Infect.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Infect number 1, which a lot of people have been saying. Infect's going up.
They think it's getting real, real good.
Well, there's a slip through space in this list from Dan Jessup.
Ooh, 2 of them. Interesting.
So that's been added to this deck, which I think is kind of cool.
That is very cool.
Everything else appears to be as you would expect.
Lots of things with infect, lots of ways to pump them.
Yep, so that's kind of neat. Second place was Scapeshift, Green Rinse Scapeshift.
Ooh, yay.
So I've played against this deck a couple of times online, actually.
Scapeshift?
Yeah. And I hate it. I hate you, Scapeshift.
Why do you hate Scapeshift?
Because it just wins and there's nothing you can do.
That's what I love about it.
We'll never see eye to eye.
We never will. It's part of what makes the show great.
Yeah.
Good cop, bad cop, good cop, bad cop.
Scapeshift, the card art itself, though, is one of my favorite card arts. Like, those fish are just flying around in the forest. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty sweet.
Anyway, yeah, that got second. It pisses me off online. Burn was 3rd. Green Red Tron, here it is, coming in 4th.
Nice.
And let's see if our good old friend Kozilek's Return was in this deck.
Maria, this weekend while I was at the Grand Prix, I saw a completely foiled in-person version of Green Red Tron.
Oh, God, what a thing of beauty.
It was completely foiled. It was very pretty.
It is not in this deck. I wonder why. It seems so good.
Who knows?
Anyway,
you know,
not in there.
Maybe they're, yeah.
5th was Jun. 6th was another Green Red Tron, which was playing 3 Kozilek's Return. I wrote about this in my article on Daily MTG, though, because Kozilek's Return is just so great for this deck because you're casting those big Eldrazi's. It's going to come back. And you can also go and find it with your little friends, Ancient Stirrings. And it only costs 1 more. And it's an instant, all of which I think are worth paying 1 more mana for. Anyway.
Do you know what? I did not realize until this weekend that was an instant.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like, that card is just, I was already like, this card is great. And then it's like, oh, wait, it's also at instant speed the first time around.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So the Pro Tour is coming up this weekend. I mean, maybe we'll see maybe we'll see something new. I'm not seeing any Eldrazi up here.
From what I've heard, you know, the talk on the street.
What's the talk on the street, Megan?
Well, I went outside and I pressed my ear to the sidewalk.
What's the hot goss?
That Infect and Affinity, it's thought, are going to be pretty good.
Okay.
So that's sort of, you know, that's the tickety-tock.
All right. Infect and Affinity.
Yeah.
Well, nothing new there, but I do think both of those decks are fun to watch.
I hate Affinity.
Why?
Do you know what? I don't know exactly why. I think way, 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 way back in the day when I went to my very first Grand Prix and I knew nothing about Modern. I was playing it just to, you know, go and play in a Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I just remember losing so hard to that deck. And my
opponent... You were playing Boggles, though.
But my opponent, like, on turn one... played like five things out of their hand.
Yeah, they can do that.
Like my opponent, that's, you know, true. Like the first and I think third games just went like, okay, this is my first turn, and played literally almost all the cards in their hand. I was just like, I hate you. You're
that's
the
a
worst.
Good case for playing Tron, though. If you think most people are going to play Infinity and Infect, like Tron is good against those strategies. Thanks
yeah,
to
no,
Kozilek's
that's very
return.
Fair.
I mean, mm-hmm. Or if you're going to just play Pyroclasm, like. Kills actually everything.
Yeah.
Completely is a one-sided board wipe because you don't have anything out. But, I mean, yeah, I'm really interested to see what the meta is and if we see some new decks, because people have been like, oh, who's going to build that Eldrazi Displacer deck in Modern or blah, blah, blah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
Eldrazi Displacer, there's a real card too.
Yeah, it is. Somebody got me with it at the PPTQ. They just kept blinking my guys and turning them sideways so I couldn't block.
Yeah.
You know?
At our first PPTQ last weekend, I managed to draw a round in which my opponent kept blinking his own relief captain.
Oh.
And just putting counters on literally everything.
Seems good.
It was quite good.
I could tell you about something crazy that happened to me in a couple drafts.
Sure. Let me hear it.
All right. Sealed. This one was from the Streamer Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with Modern, but I just remembered. I was going to tell the story. Thing number one. I had a very short story. A Sifter of Skulls, as well as a Smothering Abomination.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, those two together are best friends.
They sound like best friends.
You can't, you don't get a token for sacking your tokens with the Sifter of Skulls, but every creature is two creatures. So that's pretty good.
That is, that sounds sick.
It was great. And then this other funny thing happened. I drafted, and I drafted a Crush of Tentacles. You see my cat's butt right there?
Yeah.
There it is. Cat butt. I drafted Crush of Tentacles. And
ooh.
Oh, what else was it? It was Insanity. My opponent had Isolation Zone, and I also had Inverter of Truth. Okay?
Ooh.
So what would happen is I would cast... like Crush of Tentacles and exile everything, and I had like my octopus. They would play Isolation Zone on my octopus. I would cast Inverter of Truth, exiling, you know, and then my graveyard. I would draw Crush of Tentacles again, play it again, get rid of everything, draw again the invert. Anyway, I cycled through my discard pile, through my graveyard, like 3 or 4 times in that game.
Wait, how did your Inverter of Truth get back in your deck?
Because I think they must have Isolation Zone the Inverter that time around.
What?
Let me think.
I'm so confused.
I can't exactly remember the order that things happened in.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I went through my graveyard, I think, 3 times.
Holy crap.
Because I kept casting Inverter and I kept casting Crush of Tentacles.
Oh, because Crush of Tentacles just bounces.
Yes, because it just bounces.
Gotcha.
That's right. So, yeah, it was insane.
That's awesome.
Pretty neat
hilarious.
Interaction.
Yeah.
That's all I got. And I was like, let's just keep doing this. Bring it on. I'll just draw it all again.
Amazing.
It's a good card to recur. That Crush of Tentacles, let me tell
Crush
you.
Crush of Tentacles seems pee good.
Seems pee good. It's legit. Well, Megan, that's our show for this week. I hope you're having fun in Canada.
It is. Canada's great.
Are you going to become a citizen?
10 Canadian facts?
Yeah.
Oh, I would.
Okay. Go.
I don't have 10 Canadian facts. I don't know why I even, like, offered them up. Because then I was like, I'll just make up 10 Canadian facts. And I was like, I'm so tired.
You're just a sleepy goblin.
I am a sleepy goblin today. The time difference is very weird.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours. Like,
it's 2 hours earlier here. So, like, waking up for the GP, it would be, like, you know, like the 9 a.m. players meeting. And I was just like, I feel great. You know, it's like 11 o'clock our time. And then, you know, like, the first day, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night and everybody's still playing Magic. And I'm just like, I'm dying.
Oh, God. Yeah. I hear you. Well, next week, remember to tune into the Pro Tour. It's happening.
Yeah,
we're going to see some
there spotting cards.
Modern. Yeah, I'm going to be spotting cards. Hopefully not screwing up. I got to study up on my Infect and Affinity in lands. Those are the trickiest things to spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll be there. You'll see me on the floor. You can tweet at me. I'll probably be checking Twitter in between rounds and stuff if you want to say hi. I'll also be doing graphics. And if you're like, Maria, you should put cards up more often. Let me know.
There you go.
And hopefully we'll get to do some interviews with players like we did last time. I think that'll be really fun. Mm-hmm. I might also give everybody a tour of the Pro Tour space in the convention hall, something
Ooh,
like that.
Ooh, that'd be sweet.
I'm being really ambitious, so we'll see if I have time for all of this. But you'll also get my thoughts because I'll probably do some coverage drafts too, and I'll get to pick some people's brains like that. And of course, we get to see the best players in the world draft too. I'll be over
Which
their
is
shoulder.
Very exciting.
I'll so be hopefully. Like a creeper, like watching. I'm like, what are you picking? Oh my God.
We can learn something about this format.
I know, finally, am I right? Whoo, boy. I want to tell everybody, too, one thing before we go. We do have new shirts in.
That's right.
I'm wearing one right now.
Our Good Luck High Five shirts.
Yes, we now have triple XL in men's size. We have restocked our men's XL and restocked our women's XL and our men's small. So we have all these shirts. They're back in stock, everybody. So head over to our store. Our numbers are limited. MagicTheAmateuring.com. And you'll see the little shop icon there. Get them while the getting's hot. And we've also had a lot of new donors on our Patreon. And I want to say thank you for that. We had a sudden influx. I don't really know why. But thank you. If you want to join the party, go to patreon.com/MTAcast and throw a buck an episode our way or whatever you can afford or whatever you think is adequate for the joy we put into your hearts every week, assuming we put joy in there.
And if we put sadness in there, well, then you can pay us for that, too.
Yep. Oh, boy. If you see us online drafting, I'm horny_unicorny.
And I am Ice Cream Socialist.
Of course, we're on Twitter at MTAcast. We'll see you back here after the Pro Tour. Get those pizza rolls in your mouth holes.
Exactly. And we'll work on that sponsorship for Tostino's, considering the number of times between the two of us that we have said or tweeted the words pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls, the smack pizza of roll. Magic.